Today's gospel is found in the 20th chapter of John, beginning with verse 19. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. The Gospel of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Have a seat, please. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. He is risen. We're still in the Easter season and are so glad to have you here today to worship. It's been a week since celebration Easter Sunday, and the gospel that's always chosen for the Sunday right after Easter is this particular gospel, because it talks about the evening of Easter. So that's the first time Jesus appeared in the locked room, and then he shows up a week later, which would be to this Sunday, when he encounters Thomas and the other disciples there. You also heard in this reading about Thomas, the one disciple who missed out on Jesus appearing to the other 11. And there's a word, I want you to pick a word that starts with a D that describes Thomas, and that word would be, doubting Thomas, poor Thomas. He was coined the phrase doubting promise Thomas from that moment on. And it's true that Thomas is known to be the one who doubted the Lord appearing, and he, where the others stated to them, "I will not believe unless I see with my own eyes and put my fingers in the nail marks and my hands in his side." But today, I want to use some other descriptive D words to describe Thomas. First one is distant Thomas. As the first scene describes, it's an amazing scene. The doors are locked and the other 11 disciples are in this room for fear of the Jewish leaders. They wondered, if they were going to do that to our Lord and Savior, what's going to happen to us? They didn't know what to do. They're paralyzed by fear. And right in the midst of that locked room, Jesus, in his resurrected body, entered the room and said to them, "Peace be with you." I think that's a pretty good greeting when someone, you see someone who is raised from the dead, right? And they are overjoyed. Their fear turned immediately to joy when he showed them his hands and his side. And the best news ever, Jesus is alive. It's not just what the women said. He is alive. And he's right there in front of them to prove it. He surprises them. They're huddled in fear because they don't know what's going to happen next. And Jesus, in essence, says to them, "Surprise! You have what it takes. You have what it takes. Why does he show that to them? He says, you're going to be going out now, not huddled in fear anymore. You're not going to be just afraid. You're going to be going out and you're going to be spreading the good news that I rose from the dead. And you're not going out by yourself. Yes, you're going to be with each other, but you're going to have the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is in you, and that's going to give you boldness and strength to be able to share the good news. And it's also going to make you discerning and wise. They're going to go out and carry the ministry of Jesus Christ into the world. Jesus says to them, in essence, surprise, you have what it takes. I've poured myself into you, and now the Holy Spirit's given to you that you can go out and be my ministers in this world. And then now we look at verse 24, where Jesus appears to Thomas and the other disciples. It says that Thomas wasn't there. So Thomas was distant. We could call him distant Thomas, the first few verses there. When the other disciples told him as he returned, have you ever gone somewhere and you just missed it? You just missed the surprise, or you just missed the fireworks going off. I remember one time we went to a fireworks show and we missed the time and we showed up right at the end, at the grand finale. Well, that was disappointing. That's how Thomas feels. The other disciples are overjoyed and they can't even contain it. And they say to him, we've seen the Lord. How disappointed Thomas must have felt. So distant Thomas is now disappointed Thomas. And I'm sure the same question that raises in all of our minds was certainly in his. If the Lord of the universe, Jesus, who knows everything, he knows our hearts, knows what we're thinking, knows what we're feeling, knows where we are, chose to appear when Thomas was out of the room, how would that make Thomas feel? Left out, right? Completely disappointed. And probably questioning whether the Lord cared at all about him. And so next, disappointed Thomas became desperate Thomas. When we're hurt, we become desperate. Maybe say things that we shouldn't say. And Thomas makes an ultimatum. Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hands into his side, I will not believe. He makes the ultimatum because he's desperate. Maybe he's desperate for Jesus to come and actually show up to him, but he really wants to see it for himself. So then fast forward 1 week. A week later, they're in the house again, and this time Thomas is with them, and Jesus again enters the locked room and shows up and says to them, peace be with you. And he says to Thomas, I know you're distant. I know you're extremely disappointed. And I know you, which led you to be desperate. But here I am. Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. And that one statement from Jesus became his nickname for all of us. Since that happened, he's called Doubting Thomas. I want to stop here for a minute and talk about or think about doubt. As you look at the scriptures, you know that it's translated from the Greek. And the Greek in these two words, the difference between doubt and believe is one letter. It's apistis or pistis. That is the word for faith. And the letter A in front of it means no faith. So in other words, it could be said, be not faithless, but faithful. Or be full of faith, not without faith. That's what the Greek actually says. And Jesus, when he looks at Thomas, he has loving eyes, because that's how our Lord is. Not condemning eyes. He says to him, be full of faith, not without faith. He's doubting, probably for good reason. Now realize, this isn't the only place where doubt creeps into the scriptures. Actually, it's in the hearts and minds of more disciples, not just Thomas, we understand. Near the end of Matthew's gospel, as the disciples gather right where Jesus told them to go in Galilee, It says this. This is verse 16 in chapter 28 of Matthew's gospel, near the end, right before Jesus gives what we call the Great Commission. It says, they're on the mountain, and Jesus appears, and they worshiped him, but some doubted. Really? He's there, about to be ascending into heaven, and they're there worshiping him, and it says, and some doubted. Pastor Sarah Yardley says this about that passage. She says, I spent many of my early years in faith seeking to be strong and carry the load to walk in honor. I experienced many griefs, unanswered prayers, a tragic death, moral failures. And one day I had the simple realization, I did not need to be strong enough to carry every pain and answer every question. That is what Jesus has done for me. I find deep comfort in reading the story of these 11 disciples who walked in obedience to the mountain where Jesus had directed them, but sat in his presence in a mix of worship and doubt. When I imagine this scene, I sense the tenderness of Christ toward his followers. That's what she wrote. So doubt and faith go hand in hand. It's not one or the other. It's not all or nothing. It's not 100% faith and no doubts. But to be a faithful follower, maybe it's more like this. 51% faith and 49% doubts. You know, gosh, we look at the news, we hear what's going on, we see what's happening in our world, we see how our society is crumbling apart in many ways, and that causes a lot of doubts because we wonder, God, are you around? Do you see what's going on? Can you see what's happening in Ukraine? Can you see what's happening in our country? Can you see the division among people, the confusion? And that puts a lot of doubts in our mind. God, if you're the God of the universe, why don't you do something about this? But that's humanity, isn't it? That's how we live. That's how we experience ourselves. We don't have to be all or nothing, believe wholeheartedly, or be an unbeliever. It's a mix. Doubting Thomas was heavy on the side of doubt of that equation. Maybe a little bit more doubt than faith. But what changed for him? Why did he move, the needle move from doubt to faith for Thomas? Well, what changed is the Lord Jesus came and stood right there in its midst. He saw again the presence of Christ, and he was in the presence of Christ. And I sense that Christ's posture toward Thomas wasn't one of condemnation or you should have believed, but more like one of tenderness. When Christ says to him, Thomas, put your finger here, see my hands, reach out your hand and put it in my side, stop doubting and believe. So here, doubting Thomas becomes devoted Thomas. Thomas's response to our Lord was not sadness or fear or rejection or despondency. It was worship. He says, my Lord and my God. So doubting Thomas becomes devoted Thomas. It's like a climactic point in John's gospel, this acclamation of who Jesus is, because it really describes who he is. He is my Lord. He's the one I'm going to follow. A Lord is someone that you would follow after, that you'd give your life for, someone that you're devoted to. And then he also says that Jesus is my God. This is not said any other place in John's gospel that Jesus is God, but he is God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He is God, and Thomas declares it. So although Thomas doubted, he gives the most clear acclamation of who Jesus is, my Lord and my God. And it goes on, the gospel does, to bring us into this story. It's not just about Thomas believing, but John's gospel goes and says, I get it. I get it how you're going to be doubting, how you're going to be afraid. He knows that our lives are full of doubt, fears, griefs, and disappointments, desperation, that also would move us to belief. Jesus says, "Because you've seen me, Thomas, you have believed, but blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." That's us. We're not the ones who have seen the resurrected Christ standing in our midst. We know his presence. We sense his presence. We have the Holy Spirit. But he says, "Blessed are you who have not seen and yet believed." And that's how this section ends. And then there's words from the author, John, writing, which is also profound in the end of this chapter. It says, "Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." Now that sounds great, as we understand that there's more to Jesus' ministry, right, than what was written in John. But John is enough. You read John and you're going to get a really clear picture of who Jesus is, what he came to do, and that he rose from the dead, obviously. But it also says, "These are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." Now, in English, the word "you" doesn't describe if it's singular or plural. So he could be saying, "These are written that you all may believe in the name of Jesus Christ and have life in his name." Or it could be singular, "you," your name. And actually, when you look at it in the original language, "you" is singular. This is written that you, the reader, might believe. Faith isn't just collective. Faith is personal. And Jesus wants you to know him personally. So a recap of this story. Jesus breathes the Holy Spirit upon his disciples and surprises them that they have what it takes, because they are the ones that are going to be going out into the world and sharing this good news. Thomas went from distant to disappointed to desperate to doubting to devoted. Why did that happen? Because he was in the presence of Jesus. Because Jesus rose from the dead and gives us the Holy Spirit, we too can sit in the presence of Christ. So how is that happening? How does that happen? Well, we come there by today worshiping, singing, praising. It moves the needle from doubt to faith. We open his word. We recall the stories of Scripture. We recall how God has worked in the past. That is how we imagine ourselves. And even when we read the word, like even today, placing yourself right there in that upper room by your imagination, sensing Jesus coming into your presence, into your midst, and speaking to you. And Jesus looks at you and me with tender eyes, seeing exactly what you are going through, why doubts fill your mind, why you're afraid, why you're sad. Jesus says, but he doesn't leave you there. He comes alongside you to give you faith, boldness and strength, wisdom and discernment. Thomas, when Jesus was with him, proclaimed boldly, "My Lord and my God." And I would ask you today to, for yourself, proclaim those words as you believe and trust in Christ again. "My Lord and my God." Today happens to be the second anniversary of our brother in Christ, Denny Tam's, death. Denny, if you knew him, was such an amazing servant of Christ. He would usually sit about where Charlie is in the back, and he was almost here at every single worship service. He showed his devotion through his service, through his love for people, through doing all he could to share the good news with anyone. But one thing that he did that it was always kind of a cool thing that impressed me about him and always remember, when he came forward for communion and you gave him the bread or the wine, he would say, "My Lord and my God." my Lord and my God. That was his personal declaration of faith. And that's what Thomas did. Those are good words for us to say. So if you just say it in your heart, or if you'd like to say it aloud when you come for communion, my Lord and my God, that is a move from doubt to devotion. Would you pray with me, please? Jesus, thank you for the love that you pour upon us. Jesus, I thank you that you look at us with tender eyes of compassion, knowing exactly like where we're coming from, knowing our life story and knowing the struggles that we feel at this very moment. Lord, those things make us doubt, make us wonder if you're listening, if you're around, if you're there to help. And today, as you did with Thomas, you reassure us that your presence is near. And that we pray for each person here today that if they haven't sensed your presence for a long time, that you would allow them to experience your being near them today, to give them your Holy Spirit, who comes as we ask, Lord, fill us with your Spirit. We ask, Lord, for you to enable us to be bold, be of faith, have strength, have wisdom and discernment by your Holy Spirit, and that we could join Thomas today in saying about you, Jesus, my Lord and my God. Lord, we thank you. Thank you for your risen self, that you are here in our midst, and that you walk with us at all times. In Jesus' name we pray.